when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
I have to say it was a toss-up to start the show with Dungannon or Killadangan, and I suppose it came down to Dungannon waiting 64 years for another county title win, or Killadangan waiting 105 years because they'd never won it, Brian Carroll. So we had to go with the hurling first, and that's the way it is. Welcome back to the show, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Willie. And what a bang to come back with. The hurling snobbery is back on course. What a day.
It was a brilliant, brilliant game. There's no doubt about that. Like, I mean, you could say in normal time, Killadangan completely threw it away, like dominated the game, really, didn't they?
They did, and they really would have been kicking themselves with all those wides. It's been a feature of their campaign this year. They've dominated a lot of their games. I've been watching them kind of closely, and they've had a huge amount of wides in every single game. So they've kind of left teams in it, and they certainly left Loughmore in it. And like Loughmore, really, obviously the strength that they have, pretty brilliant players in Tuma McGrath and John Maher, obviously, but you know, they almost pipped them, so Killadangan really would have been kicking themselves.
They really would have been. We'll talk about the extra time, because that kind of they looked like they'd lost their legs then, Killadangan, at that stage. But let's talk about this goal, because this goal, this finish was just fairy tale. So if you never would have seen it coming, when that 65 was awarded, I was like, that's it, that's game over, you know, good luck, the goalie's going to be kicking himself for miscontrolling it. As it turns out, the 65 goes over the bar. The goalkeeper, Barry Hogan, and you can correct me if I'm right or wrong, is he cheating, or is it gamesmanship a little bit in that he didn't even go looking for a slitter? He already had one in his hand to blast it down for one more chance.
Oh, he did the right thing. That's,
but is that allowed? Is that legal?
It is legal once the referee allows it.
Now, very, my point is that
it's a very quick puck out. Now he had allowed quick puck outs all day, so it wasn't like it was out of the ordinary. So I don't think Loughmore can have any complaints on that, because they were very quick in their puck outs as well. It'd be frustrating if the referee just suddenly allowed one quick one out of the blue, but right, he had allowed it from the whole game. Like, Barry Hogan does what most tuned in goalkeepers do. They have a ball in their hand ready to go, and that's what gets those quick restarts going.
I thought
that was brilliant from him.
Yeah, it definitely was, and not to be beating himself up over miscontrolling it, you know, but I thought the umpire hands the goalkeeper the ball.
Yeah, like, they see that a lot in Croke Park, but that's trying to make sure that there's consistency in the slitters. But I suppose in the club game you don't have that issue just as much. But, you know, still keepers tend to do what they want to do a lot of the time. But I have to say, I was delighted for Barry Hogan that he had such an influence on that last play. Like, he obviously spilled that ball and went out over the end line for the 65. He also missed the penalty in last year's county final as well. You know, that was a big moment. Now, albeit it was a brilliant save from the Bursley keeper, but still, you know, it could have been real kind of heartbreak from 2 years running. And then obviously the ball was poked down to Joe Gallagher, and Joe kind of has been one of the talisman for Killadangan for years. He worked really hard, but it was one of those days where nothing really was working for him. He probably dropped four or five balls out of his hand, but the one that he did catch happened to be the very last one, and it just was telling in the end, because he just turned and ran at them. Because up to that, like I already said this, John Maher was an absolute powerhouse in that, at centre-back there for Loughmore.
Yeah, and then Brian McLaughlin, right? So, like, I mean, he's taken off after 44 minutes. This happened to me before. My head was not right now. When I was taken off and brought back on, it was in the middle of winter. I was freezing. Luckily enough for him, he's sitting there. He's still a little bit warm with a nice bit of sun on him, and then comes back on. And obviously his head is completely right, because he scores two unbelievable points, and it hadn't been going well for him. He was drifting all over the field, and you know, when you run around a lot of the times, Brian, sometimes you're running everywhere where you're not supposed to be running. And he ends up scoring 1-2 after being brought back on the field. His goal, like, I know you're going for goal in that situation, but there's an argument here to be made to say tap that over. You're only a point down.
Yeah, I remember having this debate, remember, about John Lattie and what should he have done in the All-Ireland final.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But look, oh, look, the joy of being young, isn't it? Like, just can see nothing else. Corner forward, goal on the mine, and by God, did he stick it in the top corner. But you're right, he got two great points as well. He's probably the point, I think it was to draw it up at one stage, off his left-hand side, off out the field. It's probably a poor clearance from Lochmore. You know, showed great composure. You know, you said it, it's fairy tale stuff from him. You know, turned it around. He was off the field for over 30 minutes
yeah. today.
He went off in the 44th minute, came back on in the 74th minute. I know there probably would have been a couple of minutes injury time as well. So it was a long time for him to be sitting on the line. But yeah, you definitely have to do that maybe a little bit better when you're younger. But he showed great, probably kahunas to go for that ball at the very end and stuck it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not missing when that, like... I didn't have any favourite really in that game. I was actually just cheering on both because if either team won, I would have been equally. It didn't bother me at all. But when that goal went in, I don't know, my head just dropped down for the Lochmore lads. Like, oh, there's no hope then to even get a chance to get it back. Like, that is the last puck of the game. He's gone for a goal. And Brian says after the game, it's a great time to be alive and be a Killadangan man. Like, I mean, it's just like, look, just because of the excitement of the final, you would be equally as heartbroken for Lochmore as you would be happy for Killadangan for winning it for the first time ever.
I think that's a fair statement, yeah. Like, look, you have to admire Lochmore too, and you don't want to be patronising or anything, but they're a serious club. You know, Lochmore and Castleinnie obviously joined up, big GA club. Hurling and football, like they're in the football county final next week as well. You know, the last one, the Hurling 2013, but like they did the double a few years previous as well. So they're a serious outfit, and they interchange between hurling and football even in training. So
yeah.
I'll just tell you that the quality that they have as individuals, let alone as actual players. So you would feel for them, and you see Noel McGrath, like he was absolutely distraught
yeah.
at the end, you know, and lying down on the ground. But amazingly, you know. And you know, if it had gone to a draw, we were heading for penalties. Like, you know, that would have been mental altogether in the county final.
Yeah, no, it definitely would. But you would say, like we said at the start, Killadangan looked like the better team. Like, Killadangan really impressed me. Like, I mean, I tweeted during this game that they looked like they had two or three extra players on the field. Like, Lochmore couldn't get a second on the ball, but they were being swarmed. You know, those two Flynns looked like two sensational players. Paul got 7 points. Alan got 3, and I think he was marking Noel McGrath. Was he for
yeah,
a lot of the game?
Yeah, he was marking Noel McGrath for the most. Very hard to tell, obviously,
yeah.
if he followed him for in, because definitely in the first half he dominated Noel. Noel came into it more, obviously, went out around the middle third, and maybe got his influence on the game, and started to pop over a few points, and obviously got that fantastic score at the end. But you know, Alan Flynn obviously is really pushing for that Tipperary team. He's been tried cornerback, he's been tried wing back. He's a serious ball player, and obviously has great athleticism as well. But, you know, Paul Flynn almost went about, like, what a captain's role, but almost went about his task real quiet and nonchalant.
Yeah, like there's a real confidence about him, but there's no rush on him. You know, that kind
no.
of...
No, yeah, he just kind of popped over a few points. And one of the points he got, I think, Lochmore were gone 2 in front and out under the stand, right in the middle of the field off his left-hand side. You know, it's where he was stroking it over from about 25 yards. He was like 70 yards out on the sideline and bang over the bar. Brilliant, brilliant performance. Because I was raving, same as yourself, I was raving about Alan Flynn. Then I was like, oh, hold on a second. Paul Flynn's burning it up here as well.
Yeah, exactly. Two incredible, like the two McGraths were brilliant again. Noel especially was outstanding. Two incredibly uncharacteristic wides, even though they scored spectacular points, which are equally as important. John from a free and Noel from play at the end of normal time.
Yeah, and that one from play from Noel, like that was game over.
Yeah,
if he did
that, put two. That would have put two in it, wouldn't it?
That was put two in it. Yeah, so it was. You know, it's mad. And it was straight in front of the goal as well. Like, it was, like, for Noel McGrath, he usually scored out with his eyes closed. I'm sure he's, for as good a game as he had, we've all been there, you'd still be kicking yourself over that one. But then, look, obviously, he still turned around and he drew that game up with a wonder point out in the sideline.
Yeah.
But you're right, you know, John McGrath missed that free. He missed another free in I think it was in the first half as well. It just shows it's really, really difficult to score every single free that you take, you know. Billy Seymour missed a couple for Killadangan as well. Now, a couple of them were long range, but you know, he missed one out underneath the other stand, what we call the new stand in Turles, as well, that you'd expect him to score. So he kind of had an off day at the freeze as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Killadangan will be around for a while though. With the age profile of that team, they really impressed me.
Yeah, look, I think in fairness to Tipperary Championship, it's a brilliantly competitive championship. You know, like, Bursley just barely got over Killadangan last year. You can see Drummond Inch were able to turn over Bursley this year, albeit
yeah.
after extra time and penalties. You know, Turles Sarsfields are always there. You have Lochmore Castellini, you have Nina Aerole, who murdered Turles Sarsfield and then got murdered themselves by Lochmore. So, look, there's a seriously competitive Tipperary club championship. And, I suppose we've had two fairy tale stories in that championship the last 2 years, with Bursley winning it the first time since 86, and then obviously Kildangan finally winning their first ever. And both of those teams went the hard way about doing it because they had lost, you know, finals on a couple of occasions going into the one that they finally won. So, you know, Kildangan, what I have to say though, their use of the ball was excellent. Even when they were under pressure, play a very short, you know, passing style game, not afraid to play the ball around in the back line until they get the opportunity to deliver. They have serious athleticism all over the field. And it looked like, and you said this already yourself, it looked like in the second half, their legs were starting to go, but also those passes were starting to be overhit or underhit even on some occasions. And like their system was starting to break down, but they just found a way. Somehow they found a way.
Yeah, they definitely did. So in Dublin, Coola retained their title. They beat Ballyboden yesterday, and the man taking over the scoring duties from Conn is on the line now. Sean Moran, how's the head today?
That's good, yeah. Never been better. Never been better. Yeah, we're absolutely delighted, yeah.
Yeah, so that's 5 in 6 years, so it's not bad going.
Yeah, it's good going, yeah. 5 in 6 years. We've had you know, a good run of things over the last while. So we this year we just wanted to make sure that we made that fifth, so we got that fifth. And yeah, we're just absolutely thrilled that in a difficult year we were able to achieve it as well.
So it was a very exciting final. Like, I mean, your penalty was the big score. We'll get to that in a minute. But like, I mean, the two big teams in Dublin over the last maybe 15 years, Ballyboden and yourselves, you'd never played in a final before.
Yeah, they I think had won 5 in a row, I think in around 2007, maybe 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, in around that time. And then, yeah, we kind of, over the last kind of number of years, we've kind of had a good bit of success. But yeah, we've never crossed paths in the final. We've played, I think, twice in quarterfinals. They beat us once, we beat them once in a quarterfinal. But other than that, I don't think we've played each other in knockout hurling. So it was, it was nice to be able to you know, go up against them and kind of put both our legacies on the line and really just kind of battle out against kind of the two of the kind of best teams over the last number of years. And
yeah, who's the big dog, basically, was what you were fighting for.
Yeah, kind of that in some respects. The two most successful teams of the last while. So yeah, it was a big game. It was a very tough match. But we did it right that we came out on top.
Did you think you were in trouble at one point? You were 6 down. Like, I mean, it's only in the first half, but
yeah, I think even at one point we might have been 7 down. We kind of started slow. They really dominated on our puck out. I think they got a good few scores from our puck out, and they were winning breaks around their half back line, and we were kind of struggling to get a bit of a flow or kind of really, really settle into the game. And we never really panicked though. We just it's kind of the cliche if you're going to stick to your process, but we just knew if we just had to keep going, and if we could stay in the match and we could kind of stay around. I think we brought it back to 4 at half time, so we were happy with how we had played. We weren't happy with how we played, but we were happy with where we were at half time considering how we played. And we knew if we kind of just kept slowly picking away at it, that if we stayed in this, that coming down the stretch, I think youth was probably on our side, so we knew that we'd have the legs coming down at the end of the match.
Right, an incredible stat was you scored 220 from 24 chances. I don't know if you're aware of that, because I was watching Kildangan yesterday and they had 10 wides in the first half alone. Like, I mean, it was incredible how many wides they had. 220 from 24 chances.
Jeez, yeah, actually, no, I didn't realise that. Yeah, that's good. And good scoring, and I think it was one of the key points we wanted to improve on. I know against Lucan in our semi-final, we had we probably hit 10 wides in the first half ourselves. So we knew that if we were going to beat Ballyboden, we'd be really efficient with our shooting. And thankfully we were.
So the penalty, like I was saying, was a huge score. You were a point down with 10 minutes to go. Conn was fouled. Conn continued on and stuck it in the back of the net. You're stepping up for the penalty. Are you thinking, why the feck didn't that ref just give that goal, and I wouldn't have to be under this pressure?
I know, wouldn't be in that situation. I know we were pleading with him to go, but I think he said his whistle had gone just before Conn had. We were pleading that, you know, advantage should have been played and balls in the back of the net. But then I knew then that this would be, you know, if to get kind of that goal disallowed, and then it's, you know, the only thing that was going through my head then was like, well, make sure that goal stands, and we can then really try to see this game out, and we can really make a big push. So yeah, thankfully, being in that situation, it's one of those ones you're just going to hit it low, hit it hard, and hope that the keeper doesn't save it, really.
I saw it in the Pearshig goalkeeper guess on Saturday night. I don't know if you were watching that game. For the Doon penalty. Are goalkeepers starting to do that in hurling now? Because there's no chance. You've all got so used to that penalty now from the 21 that probably their only chance of getting to it is to do like soccer maybe and go across.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that game. But you're seeing it probably a bit more. Keeper, they might take a step or two to the side maybe to, you know, they'll hedge their bets and maybe try to close down one side of the goal. But I don't think Finn McGarry guessed. I don't think my penalty was fairly central. It wasn't in the corner at all.
Right.
But it was maybe halfway between the middle and the left post.
So it was just power. But like, I mean, the power you're able to get into those strikes. Like, I mean, we know you're known for those closing goals when Hamani's on the goal line. Then loads. You've done it in All Ireland finals. Like, I mean, is that just hit it as hard as you can, or would you pick a spot?
Oh, it's completely just hit it as hard. There's very little thought that goes into it. It's kind of, you might have a general direction, but when there's that many, if you're trying to get past that many, it's the power is what will probably win out more often than if you're able to put it in the corner, if it's slower, you know. So yeah, again, I was just trying to focus on the strike and hoping that the result will take care of itself.
So I was thinking, even with the freeze now, not the penalties, that maybe you might aim for in between two fellas to maybe confuse which of them is going to go for it or something like that.
Yeah, the odd time you can. I think I tend to try to hit them, maybe get a bounce or try to get an awkward bounce in front of them or something like that. That can kind of, that's worked in the past a few times. But yeah, you could, or kind of, you know, you definitely, for those ones, you need luck has to be on your side. It's definitely something that you need. You need rubber green when you're taking those. But yeah, it's kind of a number of things that come into play. And I guess depending on the situation, you might do something different.
Right. Okay. So you scored 2-3 in the final. You're in the forwards for Coola now. I have to say, I thought you were a converted forward this year. But as it turns out, you were a forward before you were ever a centre back.
I was, yeah, I was a forward actually up until I went to college. The UCD, I played fresh in UCD. That was the first time I ever played as a back in my life. And then I was kind of been a back since then. I think that's kind of when it coincided with when I came on to the Coola senior team and then went with Dublin. So I was kind of always a back. So I'd kind of been slowly, you know, putting those thoughts in maybe in Willie's head, you know, let him know that, you know, I can play up in the forwards if you need me up there type thing. It was something we tried in a few challenge matches, and it kind of happened by accident in the Dublin Championship, to be honest. I played, you know, all of the group games at centre back, and then Bridget's, I think started in corner forward, and we were going to wait after 5 minutes, and I was going to kind of come around the middle of the field. But we actually started that game very well, and we were on top, so we said, listen, we'll just leave things where they are, and I kind of stayed in there, and that kind of then I stayed up in the forwards for most of the game. And then the same with Lucan and in the semi-final and again yesterday.
Right, okay, because like, I mean, just from reading match reports, I didn't see those games, they weren't televised. Like, I mean, one day you're kind of picked in the team sheet as a wing forward, the other then you're in the corner. Where have you been lining out in the forwards and what was your role?
I think team sheets these days now kind of gone out the window with,
yeah,
you know, you'll have people with all sorts of numbers in their backs playing in different positions, but I think one of the big strengths we have is just kind of how fluid we can be and how, you know, different people can do different roles and it can really add some confusion to the opposing team and there's a lot more movement involved. So I think I was kind of moving around between maybe in full forward or in the wing, and we tried to, you know, get into nice create pockets for ourselves and then leave maybe if we can get a mismatch or get the matchups that we want. And then we can kind of attack from those positions. And so it's kind of a bit all over, really, to be honest.
Right. Okay. And what was the story about you kind of edging to get back into forwards? Were you getting bored of centre back? I have to say, you have a lovely role at centre back for Dublin. You have a lovely free role.
I know.
That's fairy tale stuff. Maybe you don't have that role for Coola.
I think I had said it before here. I think it was one a challenge I've played at the start of the year against Dixborough, and there's like, we're just going to try open the forwards to see. To see how it goes. So I played centre forward and kind of nearly running around like a headless chicken for a lot of the game, kind of nearly forgetting how to play as a forward. But slowly that came back, and it was just kind of something we tried. Yeah, I kind of said, you know, we have a lot of, like, you know, we have a lot of players in, even at our backs, like Darius O'Connell's played in the forwards this year, so has Jake, Sean Tracy's played in the, they've all played in the forwards this year, so we kind of have a lot of players who can play in different positions, and that's kind of just how it fell this year. And you never know, we'll be back in the backs yet, or you never know, might be converting up to the forwards. You never know.
But I was interested that when you were a forward, it was when you were coming up through the ranks, and like you said, you went to UCD, but you weren't making the Dublin minors. You were too small. I was reading an interview that you did in the Independent. You were too small and you were too slow, which was a combination which is not ideal for anybody.
No, it's not a great attribute to have if you're trying to, to be a hurler. Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't know. I was kind of always, like, on the fringes of a lot of, like, my skill level was always decent, but yeah, it was, like I said, I was slow and I was small. Like, I only grew, to be honest, when I was probably 17. I think I grew probably a foot in a year or so.
Really?
I was always tiny. I was like one of the smallest in the team the whole way up, and then I kind of grew, I think, kind of just before the leaving cert, I hit a bit of a growth spurt, and never involved with minor. I think I played a bit at under 21 with Dublin, and we didn't have very successful years in our under 21 campaigns, but and then soon after that, then I was with the senior team. Yeah, but no, never a minor.
Right, never a minor. And, like, I mean, then how did you, like, you mentioned that you had the growth spurt, but that's not going to fix your speed. How did you, you know, we know you have a good sidestep, like, I mean, but how did you work on your speed?
I think there's been, like, a huge emphasis recently kind of on kind of like the sports science side of things. Like, you see, like, before, there's very much a huge emphasis put on, like, you know, your functional movement and all this, and you have S&C's coach, you know, who, they're very educated and they know exactly kind of what the information and the kind of the training that they need to you know, for each of the players, for them to improve in the areas they want. Like, we had Clean O'Connor, she was in with Kula back when Matty was manager, and she kind of introduced this whole new thing of like our kind of running technique and power and all this, and like other coaches throughout the years as well, they would have done similar. And like Darren, who's in with us now, is our S&C this year, they put a lot of emphasis on kind of like your technique, the power you generate, and it kind of just comes a practice, you know, and practicing. And I guess when I grew a bit, it kind of probably helped as well, and was able to put a bit more size on that also helps, and it kind of comes with time, I guess, in some cases.
Right. So, like, I mean, the longer legs obviously maybe help.
They have now. I'm by no means fast this stage now. I'm not getting any notions, but it's something that I've tried to work on myself, because I did identify it as a weakness in my game. So it was something that I did try to work on.
Right. Is there any bit of frustration? I know you've won the county championship, but you've won, like I said, you've won 5 in 6 years, and, like, I mean, when you're double All Ireland champions, you know, like, I mean, is there a frustration there this year that you can't go on? Because I'm looking at it now, see you coming out of Dublin, see Ballyhale maybe coming out, or Dixborough coming out of Kilkenny, then you have Napiershig, you have Ballygunner, you have Killadangan, who looked, you know, brilliant yesterday. I'm sure you're looking at those big super clubs, like yourself being a super club going, geez, wouldn't it be fantastic to see who'd come out on top of all of this?
Yeah, it would be great. It'd be great to have another crack at, you know, maybe get another Leinster, another All-Ireland. That'd be something we'd love to do, yeah, but unfortunately it doesn't look like that's what's going to be happening this year. And yeah, we would love it, but like, Dublin was always our first goal. It's always our goal every year. Now, we'd only have that opportunity if we win Dublin. That was our focus. But yeah, now you'd love to go on, and kind of, you know, yeah, it seems like a lot of the big name teams have come out of their respective counties, so it would be great, yeah, to have a nice provincial and All-Ireland championship ahead of us, but unfortunately it's not to be.
Yeah, Slocknail and Dunloy actually up in Ulster would be a good one too. So there's loads of great games. It is a pity, but what can you do? When are you back in Dublin? I presume Matty will be giving you a few days off, nothing major.
Yeah, we'll take a few days off, and then I guess we'll integrate back in then slowly in the coming week. To kind of refocus and redirect the focus now to the county scene. And yeah, just integrate back in. Be good to go back in eventually and, like, see the guys you haven't seen in a while, and, you know, get a catch up with them, and then kind of kick things on for the I guess the new county championship. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I know you know Matty well, so it wouldn't be out of place for you to text him last night. 2-3, Matty, just leaving it out there. Just leave that with you.
I might send him that, yeah.
send it tonight. If you have a couple of jars food later on, thought. you can get out of it. Food for thought. Just ponder on that, Matty. I'll leave that with you.
Yeah.
Come here, Sean. I'll leave you go. Thanks very much for taking the call. Right. I know you've got a lot of stuff to be doing today.
No worries. Thanks, Michael. Take care.
What do you think of that, Brian? Sean Moran in the forwards. It's definitely an interesting one. He's been edging to get back up there, which I was surprised about. So we'll have to watch this space and see what happens for the Dublin team this year.
Yeah, most hurlers want to play centre-back, so that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I thought that.
Have it all facing in front of you and obviously know what you're at. But I think he's just a wonderful talent. He's a giant of a man, but he's a brilliant temperament on top of everything else. You know, he saved Coola in that All-Ireland drawn game a couple of years ago in Croke Park with that 21 to get them to extra time. And I just think he's a fantastic hurler. He's shown, I suppose, over the last couple of seasons how good he is, not just for Coola but also for Dublin, and I suppose this year he's shown probably the rest of the country that he can actually hurl up the field as well. Look, he says himself that he's had a lot there underage, but I just think I'd have huge admiration for him. I think he's a real class act. I think he'd walk onto any team in the country.
He would, and he's a gentleman as well. I thought it was interesting when he said that when he's taken those frees and all, you mentioned the All-Ireland final one, that he's not picking a spot, he's concentrating on power. Like, I mean, would every hurler be like that, or would that be unique to him?
Yeah, I suppose, look, first and foremost, you have to get your strike right. Look, everyone has a look at the line. You're trying to avoid the keeper, I think. I think that's the first and foremost. Usually in the 21, the keeper comes out, you know, those extra couple of yards,
yeah.
And you're trying to avoid them because keepers fancy that, you know, and if you go high near them at all, keepers should be blocking it. But look, it's working for him. Who am I to question what he's doing? He finds a way somehow as well. He's obviously a tremendous poke of a ball to be able to take those 21s. And you know, look, if that's what's working for him, he's not going to change it, is he?
Yeah, no, definitely not. Come here, Saturday night, the Pearsig hammered doing like this. It wasn't a 27-point game, I didn't think. 5-27, a record in a Limerick County final. Like, I mean, incredible score to run up. You'd almost feel sorry for Doon at the end. And there was an element of them throwing in the towel at the end. It was just too easy towards the end. But look, they're a young team and, you know, they'll learn, I'm sure, from that. David Dempsey scored two goals that would, you know, grace any pitch in the whole country. The first one, I want to mention his goals because that was when the game was close. His first one before halftime, my God, an absolute brilliant goal. And then his second one, the control on the hurl, Brian, and flick it in past the goalkeeper all in one go after a great pass.
Oh, he was immense the other day. And
yeah,
showed what skill he has as well. Because, you know, usually, you know, you look at David Dempsey, you might say, he's big and he's rangy, he's strong in the air, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he's more rangy than big, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's so much more than that. Like, yeah. Geez, as you said, that first goal, pick it out. Top corner, couldn't be any much more top corner. Brilliant. And then, as you said, the control, the vision of the pass in the first place, but the control and the finish, you know, there was nothing the Doon keeper could do about that. But you'd have to feel sorry for Doon, you know, like they get to the county final, they go the hard way about doing it, and then they're missing, obviously, Richie English and Dara Donovan. And I know you can say on the flip side of it that Shane Dowland and Kevin Downs is missing for an Appearshy, but Appearshy have an unbelievable pick,
yeah.
An unbelievable squad. They've often played and won big games without those two players. You know, they're a relentless force in the Pearsig. Like, that's how strong they are. They're brilliant. Doon, a small rural enough area, you know what I mean? Really trying, they've lost a couple of county finals now as well. You know, they need everyone if they're to have any fighting chance. But in the Pearsig, they just blew them out of the water. Like, they're used to the ball, fantastic, you know, coming out. You know, very, very similar to Limerick. As well able to play the ball through the lines
and then
find space inside.
I was going to say that they're the Limerick team of Limerick hurling, if you know, the Limerick club team. That's the style they go for.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and Will O'Donoghue obviously making things take Ronan Lynch, their centre back as well. Like, you have Mike Casey at fullback. His chest, if that gets any bigger,
but wouldn't it be unbelievable? Wouldn't you love to see him marking Colin Fennelly in a club match? Because no one can handle Colin Fennelly, his physicality, yeah. But Casey be well able to stick that chest into him.
And Casey was the only one that ever kind of kept Conor Callaghan quiet for some period of time as well, over those couple of drawn All-Ireland, and even in the replay, kept him quiet for a while, but obviously Conn's class came to the fore for a finish. So, look, he is deadly. It's one of those years, and I don't know if it was a Jew tweet, but someone tweeted about, like, what a year it would have been for club championship.
Yeah.
You know, like Leinster and Munster.
Yeah.
You probably had a couple of teams absolutely coming to their peak. You know, you have the Pearshig obviously blowing them away. You have Ballygunner, like, they seem to be relentless, obviously, at this stage. You know, 7 or 8 county finals in a row. They're hurting after last year. You know, in Leinster, then you have Coola. You know, same thing, brilliant team, but they'd be hurting after last year. And they'd be mad to get a crack at Ballyhale if they come out of Kilkenny. We better not be presumptuous and assume that Kilkenny or that Ballyhale will beat Dixburg, because anything's possible in that Kilkenny championship as well.
Yeah, no, that's true. And then I was tweeting that, and somebody correctly pointed out to me, Slocknail versus Dunloy is an incredible game in Ulster as well. Like, I mean, I'm not going to complain, because we're just glad we had the club championship.
Yes,
but at the same time, there's too many questions left unanswered here after all these finals.
Yeah, no, look, I agree with you. And just to go back to the Slocknail Dunloy, like, Slocknail are a serious outfit. I was lucky enough to see them in the Ulster final last year against Dunloy. And they destroyed Dunloy in that final. Now, and that's why it would be mouthwatering to see them come up against each other again, because Dunloy wouldn't have been happy with their performance last year, because they're a really good outfit too. And, you know, Slocknail, though, are as good as any team out there, you know. So you're right, like, there's serious club teams out there at the moment. And it is a pity, but as you said, we can't complain. We're just delighted to have some GAA, and I suppose all we can do now is look forward to the inter-county season coming back.
Yeah, exactly. David Dempsey, his assist for the last goal was incredible too, an absolute bullet across the goal, when he could have gone for a goal himself. They were really just kind of, they were showing up, I don't mean showing off in a bad way, but they were showing how good they were kind of at that stage. Will O'Donoghue gave a bit of an insight into where that performance came from. They obviously lost the final last year, then lost the first round this year. And he says, people were very quick to throw it around and push it in our faces. So I think a lot of people got their answer tonight. Fairly strong words from Will, right? He said, everyone was mad to push it at us. At Kieran Birmingham in a TG Cahir interview, Shane Dowling in an RTE interview, to question our hunger. So I hope everyone knows we're alive and kicking. Isn't it gas what teams or individual players will get their motivation from, you know, just somebody saying, geez, and the Pearshig could be gone. That's enough to really anger those top club teams. We'll show them.
Yeah. Don't you love that? Like, I suppose
I love it, yeah.
Every team needs that. Look, sure, Davy Fitz is the master of that, isn't he? Do you know, get an agenda, really drive it home. And I know we were always at in Killary for a couple of years, they say we're too old, you know, that kind of way. And
right.
We still won a couple of county finals. That, unfortunately, we are too old now. But, for a few years, we got a bit of...
Is this a we or I'm?
Oh, yeah, maybe me. Sorry, yeah. No, but we got 2 county finals out of that. You know, we won 15 and 18 out of almost that, like, that agenda. Do you know that kind of way? So,
like a siege
whatever
mentality.
It takes. Yeah, that siege mentality. You know, whatever it takes, I suppose, from their perspective. Because obviously we're all motivated. We all want to win county titles. But sometimes you just need that extra edge and that kind of, you know, reason to really push yourself that extra bit more. You'll do it kind of for the group a lot quicker than almost sometimes you'll do it for yourself. So, you know, that is great. And look, how many times have we heard it before? But even as you said, the great team of Na Pearshig, you know, bring that siege mentality to it as well.
Yeah, fantastic. So a result in the Galway Hurling Championship semi-final, Turlochmore 217, Loughrea 117. I think Loughrea were slight favourites going into this one. Not too much to say in this one other than Doughy Burke. I saw a tweet from David Connors from the Tuam Herald. Fullback, centre-back, wing-back, midfielder, and now ball-winning full forward. Man-marking or playmaker, high ball or low ball. Doughy Burke is an unbelievable hurler, athlete and competitor. He was a target man full forward yesterday for Turlochmore. Like, I mean, is there anything this man can't do? Never mind multiple All-Irelands for Corrifin as a midfielder or a wing back or wherever you want to play him as well. Like, I mean, is there a more talented all-rounder than this man?
Oh, he's phenomenal, isn't he? And look, so strong as well. And that clip, and I saw that on Twitter as well, and you know, we're talking about that, and people check it out, because his vision and his stick work, you know, he caught a ball over on, say, the right side, maybe around the 13, well, it was in around full forward, but caught a great ball, and while falling, you know, hit the ball back against himself, picked out the other corner forward to rifle into net. It was just a brilliant piece of skill. And, you know, Dottie Burke, probably people throw it out there, oh, he's full back, he's a bit of a dog, you know, he marks tight, he's strong in the air. He's a lot more than that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Look, you don't get four All-Stars in a row at full back for no reason. Like, you know, he's all those things that's been described in that tweet. Do you know what I mean?
And he's
just brilliant.
In any, unlike Gaelic football, in hurling, any good fielding fullback can become a good fielding target man full forward, right? In theory.
Yeah, suppose, look, he'll be a massive handful. The only thing about, obviously, it's totally different as a forward and a back, because generally what a back does is let the forward go first. Do you know what I mean? And the back is, it'll come in behind and play you. You know, play down your arms, play down your head with a nice strong elbow or whatever. Play the hurl and try and catch it over your head from behind. JJ is the first you think of from that perspective. And the back has the kind of, has that chance to let you go up first, because you have to go to it. Whereas obviously in the forward line, it's a little bit harder to do that. So to go out and catch a ball in front is a little bit more difficult. You know, a lot of teams have tried that, thrown up a big full forward. It might work at times, but a high ball is still a backsman's ball, essentially.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a forward, even as a small man myself, you'd be half hoping that the back would be going up so you can come in from the side. So it is a little bit harder. It's not just a straightforward, just throw them up there and hope that they do it. But the thing is, when they do catch it, it's very, very hard to contain.
Exactly. Another shout out here has to go to our own JJ Delaney. You're just after mentioning him there, because I completely missed this last Monday, and Thursday wasn't really a time for it. They've avoided relegation, or they've been in the final for 8 of the last 9 years or something crazy, and then director stick of Ballyragget down from senior, Ballyragget went to intermediate, and now the Fenians are after putting them down into junior.
Yeah, you'd have to feel for Ballyragget, for starters. They're after free falling, obviously. They were so close to qualifying for like you tweeted about this a while ago, like the Kilkenny Club Championship is ruthless.
Yeah.
Do you know? Like, they went from being a poke of a ball to qualifying for a quarter final, which would have put them in strong place to obviously go on and try and win that intermediate championship back, to going into a relegation semi final, lost the relegation final. Last minute goal, more or less. Fenians found a way. As I said, you'd feel a little bit for Ballyragget, but as you said, it's 8 out of 9 times. Is that what you said?
Like, something crazy where JJ, I think JJ caught the last ball of the game, which wouldn't be out of character. But then, you'd have to say Ballyragget haven't been the same team since Fifi got her hands on him that night. In
it just hasn't been the same.
Same players. Another tweet I want to draw your attention to is Shane McGrath on Owen Kelly. How do we know class is permanent? In 2002, Owen Kelly scored 2-7 to help Mullen O'Hone win the county final. Today, 18 years later, he scored 2-5 to help them win the Seamus O'Rean county final. What's the Seamus O'Rean county final, Brian? And how important is this? Is this intermediate?
It's Senior B, to be fair, Tipperary. So they have 16 teams in Senior A and 16 teams in Senior B. So they won the Senior B championship, which puts them up, obviously, to the Senior A. I think the two of them, I'm not 100%. No, there's only one team qualifying this year. Yeah, going up to Senior A. Usually in the Tipperary Championship, that would qualify them for a quarter final or into the knockout stages of the county quarter final. Tipperary system is usually quite intricate. They still have all the four divisions. Those winners come into it. The group stage is still playing to it. So it's quite a complex system that Tipperary usually have, where they actually, just with COVID, got rid of all the divisionals, and they just had the straightforward four groups of four county championships in both A and B, and the B winners don't progress any further. Still a big win though from Mullen O'Hone. You know, they've been down B now for quite a while, a few years, you know what I mean? And a big win, and they've won some big games. Laura have, you know, same thing, they've been down in B for a good few years as well. And they had hurled some fantastic games this year. So that was a great Senior B final in Tipperary. And Kelly just showed his class, I suppose. Like, the two goals, obviously, doing the rounds on Twitter, is the first one, give a ball to Owen Kelly on his right-hand side. 21 metres out, there's only going to be one outcome. You know what I mean? Just the power, you know, the power in the shot he's able to get. And the second one then, that's what I'm talking about, a high ball. He just came in from the side, showed his experience, caught it over his head. But even for a man that clearly isn't in the shape he used to be, swivel of the hips and a brilliant finish. Low into the bottom corner, didn't try to take the net out of it, and just brilliant precision to put it down in there. So look, Kelly is class. There's no doubt about it. He's one of the greatest that's ever played for Tipperary, if not arguably the greatest. So definitely of this generation anyway. And just, I suppose, capping off his career. But I suppose now he'll have to go up and hurl another year up at the
senior. There's no end to it. Before we go, I want to give a shout out to the blonde girl that the cameras kept going to in Central Stadium yesterday, Jordan. You know the way a camera director kind of, it happens in soccer and all sports, they see a good looking girl in the stand and they keep going back and showing her whatever. This girl would need an ice bath after that game, Brian. She must have been a girlfriend, wife or a sister of one of the players, because that girl poked every single ball in the game, and she definitely deserves a shout out on the hurling show.
Oh, definitely. Look, she's clearly good looking. That was a big draw for the PG cameraman that got it. But what I will say is it was actually brilliant, because she went through every single range of emotion of the match, because it was like biting the nails, praying to God,
the foot was
celebrating for a finish.
The foot was twitching then, and another. I actually, like, she added to my excitement of the game.
Big hit on Twitter as well.
Oh, was she?
I know, it was brilliant. It actually did capture the day, so it was actually class.
Captured the emotions of it. We have to find out who she was. Did anyone on Twitter find out who she was, or what was her connection to any of the players?
I didn't come across yet. I'm sure there's plenty of lads sniffing around and trying to find out.
See, that's you. You're just searching blonde girl on Twitter, you see, and you're coming across this stuff. You see, I'm not doing that kind of stuff, Ryan. That's your problem.
Easy now.
All right, on that very controversial point, we'll come back and we'll talk about the football next.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year, and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year, and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
So as mentioned at the start, Conan Dungannon, 64 years of hurt. Not quite Killadangan with 105 years of hurt. But 64 years of hurt is a long time of hurt. So this was the most dramatic of finishes to one of the most dramatic championships that has ever been played in the history of Gaelic football. Four extra times Dungannon went through. All four of their games went to extra time. They won it on penalties on the 10th penalty. On the 5th penalty, the penalty to win it, and they missed it. And all five penalty takers went one big round again. And it was Kieran Barker who got the 45 to win the semi-final after extra time, who stepped up and smashed home the penalty to put them through. Like, I mean, if there's ever, like, there is no doubt this has never, ever been done in the history of Gaelic football. It's just incredible. When you actually add to it the Trillick to get to the final needed penalties twice themselves, like, what is going on up in Tyrone?
Yeah, that's it, because I was thinking about you know, well, Dungannon really deserved it because he went through four extra times, but it's like Trillick went through two penalty shootouts as well. Like, God love them. Like, you know, but the thing about Dungannon is that they were behind in every one of those games as well. If you go right back to the start, and I thought, I didn't even think about them because they drew with Loch McCrory. So I thought, all right, they're not, like, they're maybe not in contention. I thought Ardbo would beat them in the quarterfinal. They were 2 points down in injury time against Loch McCrory, and it was Paddy McNulty's point to sort of save them. Against Ardbo, they were 2 points down. Paul Donaghy stepped up last kick of the game. Like, he kicked a free and then kicked last kick of the game. You mentioned Kieran Barker winning it against Errol Kieran. They were three down with 8 minutes to go, and then this one as well, coming from behind and winning it after 10 penalties. It's sometimes it's written. That's what you said. That's what you said. Your dad said.
Yeah.
Your name's on the trophy, and like, this felt like it.
So they were down in this game kind of twice. They got off to a terrible start, and then after half time, they scored 1-4 to a point. It was Paul Dunne, he scored a monster free, you know, like kind of an inspirational score off the outside of his right boot. And then he put in a lovely high ball in for goal scorer Patrick Quinn, who'd come off the bench pretty early in the game because they were in trouble. He's a big target man. So now they're getting, that's 1-1. They get on three more scores to go 1-7 to 5 points ahead. Then they go asleep and Trillick score four in a row to go 1-9 to 7 up. There's 2 minutes of normal time left. Trillick are defending champions. This game's over, but it's not because it's Dungannon. Like, I mean, crazy stuff. So then, like, I mean, in extra time, then they're ahead and Trillick, Lee Brennan, who was brilliant, he scored a brilliant goal off the outside of his right on full sprint on the run during the game. He got a lot of the Trillick scores. Like, I mean, I don't know how these drama ebbs and flows. And like, I mean, usually when you look traditionally at Tyrone club football over the last 8 or 9 years, if a team has a 4 point lead, the game's over. That is not the case in this championship, and it's not the case in Tyrone club football forevermore, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, teams are just trying to always find ways of hurting the other team, though, which is obviously a class for football. And like, we talk about Paul Donoghue, you mentioned Patrick Quinn. Like, Patrick Quinn scored 1-5 in the last two games, like, coming off the bench. Like, what an impact when you have that to be able to mix your team up. That's great. And like, Kiefer Morgan as well, I think you mentioned him. Like, how many times is he coming up trumps? I think he kicked the equalizer in normal time as well. This and the height they had to get in it because there were bodies around him. Like, it's great stuff, and great to see people trying to use their weapons.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. So, like, I mean, Matty Donnelly missed a penalty. The Trillick missed two in a row, which gave Dungannon the chance to win it. And it was Kieran Barker who missed that. He drove it over the bar. But every penalty taker got to take two, so nobody missed two penalties. So if that's any consolation, you know what I mean? It's absolutely, you know, it's heartbreaking on Dara Gallagher, who hit the post. That was in the normal time that he had hit the post to give Barker the chance, and he drove it over the bar. So, like, I mean, all penalty takers got one of their penalties at least. So there's something that, you know, to come back on, because a lot of people are saying, and I kind of agree, I'm totally for penalties. And there's no doubt about that. Penalties are really good, an exciting end. But when it gets to a final, Conan, would it have been a big deal to play a replay next week? You're not holding up other teams. Like, you know, say a semi-final, one goes to a replay and the other doesn't. And then one team has 1 week preparation for a final. The other team, you know, only is sitting around waiting for 2 weeks. Whereas in a final, both teams are exactly in the same boat. Do you know what I mean? In a final, I would be a little bit more like, after extra time, play the replay.
Yeah, like, that's probably not a bad way of looking at it. Like, I think I would definitely still have penalties for the replay. You know, like, I think
after the replay, then that's fair enough. Yeah, I would agree on that.
Because I don't have a problem with penalties. Like, I know it's tough. It's a tough way to lose, and like, it's tough for the person who misses. Except this case, because everybody can share the blame. But you know, it's tough. It's tough on Desi Dolan for missing a last minute free. Like, you have ways of losing the match anyway. Like, you know, and after a full game, after extra time, if it comes to penalties, I'm happy with that. You've had your chance to not go to penalties. And
yeah
like, no, I think as well, actually, but with Mickey Hart, they're playing Donegal in a knockout match in not that long. It's not far away. And like, to say to him now that you're not going to have these players for another week, I don't know how happy he would have been with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, that Donegal match is a bit away. There's two league games to be played before that. I think for a final, just go to the... Because, like, I mean, at one stage, it's actually a fact that if Dungannon had missed their final penalty, the Tyrone County Board officers were going to go in and tell him that that was it, that it was going to a replay, because they had all taken a penalty twice, all five penalty takers. And at that point, it must be some sort of a rule. This is Barry O'Donnell from the Ulster Herald was tweeting this, that the 10 designated penalty takers had taken their penalties and it would have gone to a replay. So if Trillick had scored their 10th, or if Dungannon had missed their 10th, we would have seen a replay anyways.
Yeah, I find that weird though, because I'm just like, if you're going to have penalties, and just finish it off. Like, you know, it could have been the difference of one more shot each, you know, and that would have ended it. So I didn't really agree with that, but like, yeah, lucky for Dungannon, the Barker just came up trumps.
Yeah, definitely. So Arlene Foster has to go and ruin the whole thing, and this Stephen Nolan. I don't know, want to use the word that I'd like to use for that Stephen Nolan, like, how someone in his position can be as you know, biased as he is, you know, like, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Like that, surely you, when you're in that position of influence, that you shouldn't be as one-sided as he is. Arlene Foster jumped on his tweet, then he's complaining about the pitch invasion. So she says she's deeply concerned about the images from yesterday's GAA match. Significant milestone for Dungannon, but COVID-19 is no respecter of victories. Other events being responsible, sport and health will be the losers. And she's asked for Ulster GAA to address this. Serious questions arising from the videos. How can Ulster GAA address this? Like, okay, all right, a pitch invasion is not ideal, but a lot of these fans are sitting near each other in the stands. They're look. It's hard to excuse that. It's not the ideal situation. But Jesus Christ, 64 years, extra time in every game, 10 bloody penalties. Give me a break.
I think it's hard for the GAA to address like the pitch invasion and the celebrations, because that would have happened anyway, no matter what sort of restrictions that they put in place. But I do like sort of agree with Arlene Foster for once in my life, like, you know, that it's not great. Like, you know, the GAA have been like, they've been vociferous and asking all these questions, and like, they've obviously been unhappy at how things have been done, and it seems like that they're a bit unhappy at the lack of trust put on them, you know, considering all the work that they've done and the capacity that they have to be able to manage these events. But now, like, I think we saw it in the hurling as well, like, you know, the crowds are just sitting on top of each other, and the GAA can't organise that in big stands, and it's just not a great look for them. Like, that was so easy for them to come in and manage that. Now, I know it's up to different county boards and stuff like that, but the GAA need to manage that from the top and make sure that you're not seeing a scene where everybody's sitting in the same seat, basically.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I saw somebody reply back to Stephen Nolan talking about the Glentoran fans. They were celebrating their Irish Cup win in July, which was a much, you know, it was a pretty serious time. They're out in the street, they're all over each other, and he's not highlighting that. Do you know what I mean? So at the same time, like, the GAA will be definitely a little bit disappointed. Like, look at Dublin GAA. They've played their county final behind closed doors, even though they're allowed have 100 at it. Like, you know, we know the GAA are being ultra conservative, and that's why this kind of thing will probably hurt them a little bit, you know, I would imagine, drawing attention to it. In Mayo, Knockmore ended 23-year wait. So there wasn't the same kind of excitement in this one at all. It never really caught to life, did it, Conan? Like, I mean, Knockmore got into a great start. Briefy took over, and then Briefy went out of it, and Knockmore took over, and that was kind of it. And like, with 10 minutes to go, you could only see one winner, and that was Knockmore.
That's a good summation of it. Like, yeah, it was one team was in control, the other team was in control, and then Knockmore just went and won it. But even when Briefy were in control for so long, not in control, but they were scoring the most, like, I always thought Knockmore just looked like the better team. Like, they had way more verve in their attack. Like, you know, they moved through the lines well. They always got it to a nice spot in the middle of the pitch, 50, 60 metres out from goals. They were picking nice passes inside, and the runners they had off was frightening.
Yeah,
there was a real buzz about them when they were going forward, and they looked more defensively sound than Briefy. Like, they had Seamus Boucher as a spare man, but didn't make much of an impact. And so many times they were blue and white shirts sort of back covering space, you know. And I always say this, but like, if you're behind a sweeper, you're wasting your time, and you're actually making the sweeper redundant as well. You need to push out. If somebody's there holding it, you have to let him hold it and get the hell out.
Yeah, no, it's true. And like, I mean, Knockmore had their full forward line in their position. There was more structure. The amount of times Briefy would actually attack, and Matthew Ryan or somebody would have it, and there's actually nobody up ahead of him then. Now, you know, like, I mean, I think Knockmore had a better structure in getting numbers back, but also keeping their full forward line in position. Now, to be fair, the Briefy full back line wasn't attacking. Knockmore full back line the odd time would head on out. So, like, you know, there is an element of dragging the opposition's, you know, team out, you know, destroying their shape. I suppose Darren McHale was the difference between the two teams. He scored the 4 points in the second half. Very, very high quality points as well. And he got the goal in the first half. The goal was set up by Peter Nocton, who scored two super points off his right foot. This lad was confusing me. He's wearing 13. What kind of a 13? When do you ever see a right footed 13? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, he scored a free off the right. He says he's actually right footed. A number 13. I don't think I've ever seen this before. A number 13 is a specialist left footer. And the reason I actually talk, because when he set up that first goal, he turned around on his left, like a real, you know, pronounced attempt to come in the field on his left and then double back onto his right and set up the goal. And I was like, how would, like, you know, the cornerback shouldn't be falling for something like that unless his left is so dangerous that like he just simply had to, you know, cover in on the left. And it turns out he doesn't seem to use the left at all.
Yeah, because initially I thought it was like that Joe Brawley move, you know, where it looks like you're about to swing a point off your left and then you drive on the inside of the defender. But yeah, and for that goal that he set up, I was like, wow, he's stolen with his right foot as well. This guy's got a bit of balance on him. And then I noticed that he was just shooting with his right the whole game. But I think that was probably the best palmed goal into an empty net that I've ever seen. Like, you know, the run from him and the turn from him to start off with was class, but just the weight of that hand pass over the head of two defenders, just far enough away from them and not too far that McHale could come diving in and punch it. It was sort of like a, you know, in soccer they talk about putting it into the corridor of uncertainty. It was just a perfect pass across goals. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, no, it was nice. And Darren McHale really attacked it and, like I said, scored some great points. Something about Darren McHale, whenever he scores a point, he's brilliant at coming late onto the play. So he comes at a huge burst, sticks it over the bar, and then might put a fist pump and sprints back somewhere. The camera can't really exactly figure out where he's going. Now, he can't be running back out to pick up his man because surely his man has followed him in. Where is Darren McHale sprinting to after he gets a score? Now, I tweeted about this, and now when he got his last score, he actually didn't. He was wrecked. He didn't actually run back out anywhere. But after the other scores, he's legging it somewhere, Conan. Where is he going?
I was wondering because he's playing centre forward and he was flying down the pitch as if he was going back in the cornerback.
It's like when a goalkeeper scores a penalty.
Yeah, and like there's part of me was looking at it going, that's great, because it is. I think it's the best celebration. You're just running back in their position as if to say, I do this every week. Like, this is fine. Like, you know, but you're right. He was absolutely bollocked for the last one and he just didn't move. He just sat puffing and panting. But no, I think it's good to see he score a class point, and the points that he was scoring were amazing, and then just bang, straight back in the action mode.
Yeah, the Aidan O'Shea inside didn't work at all. Like, I mean, Knockmore dropped a midfielder back in front of him, and that option wasn't there, so they had to abandon it. And the ball into the full forward line for Briefy just wasn't really there. So it was hard to actually decipher what Briefy, you know, kind of did. Their inside forward line got very little service, and they weren't really running it. I do think Knockmore had a nice little balance between getting bodies back, and they did get a lot of bodies back, but also being able to break at pace and give in a ball, you know, to a full forward line that more or less held their positions. And if they needed to break a few lines, they had players to break lines. They had a nice balance to them, even though I wouldn't say, I do think Mayo football has definitely gone backwards as regards standards. And I think too many of the teams are playing probably a bit too much of a defensive style, which is surprising for Mayo.
O'Shea's a weird one as well, isn't he? Like, about 10 minutes into the second half, he had a good goal chance, but yeah, he didn't even look at the net. Yeah. He was about 11 metres out and he just kept going until he felt the contact. It's like he's only comfortable when he has men hanging off him and fouling him. Like, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's any confidence in shooting. He's very little confidence. Like, I mean, he wouldn't be the most accurate player. And you're right, that time he was so indecisive in that there was a player to his left or he had a shot on, and he didn't either. He just kept running into a man and getting bottled up. So, like, I mean, I do definitely think the closer he gets to goals, he's instinct is to be laying it off, you know, that's what he feels comfortable doing. But you're right, that was a half chance, and they had chances at the end. Like, I mean, Tommy O'Reilly kicked an unforgivable free wide, and then Maturin had a chance that was going to put one in, and Maturin had a chance off his left and it was a terrible wide, even though he had a brilliant first half and some nice scores. Like, I mean, you know, they just didn't, another loss for them. Like, it's four finals now, and like Briefy, unfortunately, when you look at this, like, I always think when you see Ballintubber winning a county final, and it always crosses my mind, well, there at least Alan Dillon and the O'Connors and these lads, they have some kind of joy in their lives after all the All-Irelands they've lost at senior. And then you see Kevin McLaughlin with the cup, and I had the exact same feeling when I saw him with the cup. Isn't that nice, you know? And then you see a picture of Aidan O'Shea sitting on the ground after four county final losses, after all the All-Ireland final losses. What are they thinking?
Yeah, and like that's four finals and three different teams that they've lost to as well. Like, you know, it's not,
yeah,
like,
and nearly point losses too, like Ballintubber losses. They lost once to Castlebar by a point and lost this one. It was two in the end, but like those misses at the end will haunt them as well.
They will, and like, I think it was their last attack, Seamus O'Shea was 20 metres out and he just took a bad solo and it went up above his head and he just got stripped of the ball and just, yeah. And like there were 6 minutes added on. I think they played about 7.5 minutes, and you know, they had the chances to come back into the game and they just they just never looked like they were going to.
No, they never did. Three in a row for Carrigan in Antrim. So this was a brilliant final, the same as last year's final. 122 to 119 after extra time. These two teams are in the same parish, Carrigan and Creggan Kickhams. They played a final in 2018, Conan, and the final score was 5-4. So if this isn't an advertisement for the way we say football's turned a corner, we don't need the offensive mark. Look at the Antrim case study. 2018, it was 5-4. This year, it was 122 to 119 with the two very same teams. I rest my case, Conan. There is no further argument in this.
The next time I tell everybody to relax during rule changes, I'm going to point out this case study.
Yeah, well, that's it. So we can twist this in to get rid of the advanced marker. We can talk a little bit about Carrigan, because their manager is Damien Cassidy from Derry. Now, we know club managers are no different to inter-county managers. They like to blow their own trumpet at times. They like to tell you what a great job they've done, what a low ebb this team was on when I took over, and look what I've done. Now, he's won three in a row with them. And you'd have to say their three in a row has been incredibly impressive. Like, they're a clutch team. Like I said, 5-4 in 18, after extra time in 19, and after extra time in 20. Like, that's some going when you need players to stand up and be counted and win difficult games. But this is what I take exception to. This is Carrigan's first three in a row, he said. It's historic. We came in 3 years ago, and the chance of winning three in a row at that stage had gone from them, and they looked like a demoralised squad. Like, they had a bad year in 2017, but they won it in 15 and 16, breaking St. Gall's, who had won it 8 in a row. They'd stopped their dominance, won it twice, then had a bad year in 17, and have now won it 3 years in a row. Damien Cassidy, you haven't turned water into wine here.
It's like Jose Mourinho trying to pretend like yeah. United or nobody's winning the League Cup's a huge achievement. Like, yeah, like I'm a big fan of Damien Cassidy. His Derry team were really exciting. I think he probably, I would have liked to see him getting a bit more time. Like, he seems a real serious man, and they played good football. Then he did really well with Clonoe and Tyrone, and now he's won three in a row with Carrigan. But yeah, like, Carrigan were always like number two to St. Gall's, and then they overtook St. Gall's, and they've been the number one team. Like, so anytime they haven't won it, it's that's the anomaly, you know. So like, it's great that they've done three in a row, and Cassidy deserves great credit, but like, they are the best team in Antrim, and they're the best club in Antrim for the last while.
Yeah, for the last while, that's fair enough. But to be fair, they keep pulling it out in these close games, so that, you know, they deserve an awful lot of credit for that. Turles Strain did five in a row in Sligo. It's never been done before. Now, they're the dominant team, Turles Strain. They're the dominant team in Sligo. We know that, but they never done five in a row. Nobody had done five in a row. So they won. They beat Drumcliffe Ross's Point by 3 points yesterday. The big score in this game was Pat Hart penalty. 6 minutes of normal time left. It was only two in it at that stage. That put five in it. You know yourself, that's the end of it. Pat Hart name might jump out at you. I had to Google this. I was like, Pat Hart? Is that little fella used to play for Ballina? He played in 05 for Ballina against us in an All-Ireland final.
Oh, wow.
So it is that Pat Hart. He's about 37, 38. He's transferred to them. And who did he put the penalty past? Paul Durkin. Paul Durkin, who won an All-Ireland club from Donegal, won an All-Ireland club with Ballyboden St. Enda's, saving a guaranteed goal against Portlaoise in the final with his fingertips from Brian McCormack. Other than that, Portlaoise could be All-Ireland club finals. Heads off to the bloody Middle East then, is the last I'd heard of him. And now he's reappearing for Drumcliffe Ross's Point in Sligo.
What?
Yeah.
I completely missed this. That's really, like, if he's playing in Sligo, we might as well just go on up the road and play in Donegal again. Like, that's a strange one.
It's definitely a strange one. There's no doubt about that. So it's like two transfers in this game. It was Sean Waldron. He hit a goal back for Drumcliffe Ross's Point, but it was a bit too late. It was too late at that stage. So Turles Strain, fair play, five in a row, never been done before. Definitely deserve a shout out. On the show in Roscommon, Padraig Pearce. It's all county finals at the moment. St. Bridget's, we talked these up. Convincing winners against Padraig Pearce's, who, to be fair, weren't too convincing in their semi-final, even though they were the better team in a poor standard match. We were mentioning St. Bridget's last week. It was final score was 111 to 8 points. St. Bridget's being a young team. So as it turns out, they only have five players left from the All-Ireland club final in 2012, which is 7 years ago. Their manager Benny O'Brien as we were mentioning some of his quotes last Thursday, he was in the management team then. Four starters haven't turned 20 and two more still in secondary school that are going to play a county minor final next weekend. That's how young St. Bridget's are. So keep an eye out for this St. Bridget's team. They have tradition, you know, and they're back with a new team, and they've beaten the current county champions, Padraig Pearce's, convincingly, you would say, in the end. It was a dogfight up until the 42nd minute. Brian Stack scored a goal. That put them, a bit like Turtle Strand, that put them 5 points clear. There was only two in it at that stage. You know what I mean? You're two up and then you score a goal. And now, instead of this being, oh shit, you know, this is touch and go. Now you've breathing space. It's massive when you get a goal when you're that couple of points ahead.
And like that's class stats there from Bridges, like all those young players. Like, it's always worrying, you know, when you have a team that's doing so well, like what's coming after them. But that reminded me of Kevin O'Boyle, the Carrigan cornerback, who had a really nice interview afterwards just talking about all he wants to do and all the team wants to do is just inspire the next generation, just to have a group of players coming through and enjoying football as much as they do. And obviously that's working in St. Bridget's as well, those successful teams.
Well, that's it, isn't that? What's the cliche? Well, listen, to be honest, my motivation was always just to leave the jersey in a better place than where I got it.
I'd rather leave it in a... No, I was going to say I'd rather leave it in a worse place for the person... No, you definitely want to leave it in a better place, but you don't want the person coming after you
to leave it in a better place again, or else what have you done? You definitely wanted to go downhill for at least a year when you leave and then rise it up again, so that at least you get 1 year when you finish up by saying, geez, he's a terrible loss, isn't he? Like, God almighty, we never thought we would have missed him that much. So if they win it the year after you leave it, like, you're completely immediately forgotten. I always think about Tomás O'Shea and Paul Galvin in that context, when they both left and they won it, like two legends of the game, and they missed out in 2014. And at that stage then, you can't be missed if you've won it the year you left.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you're nobody. Like, in fairness for Tomás O'Shea and Paul Galvin, obviously.
Like, I mean, they'll be remembered, but they can't be missed because they won it when they left.
Yeah, and everyone's raving about this Donoghue Walsh lad and how underrated he's been his whole career. And Paul Galvin who?
Yeah, exactly. So Slotnail beat the Glen and I saw a funny tweet from Cara O'Kane about this. So Slotnail beat the Glen there in the final. So he said, the Glen going for the tactic of trying to fool their neighbours Slotnail by changing all the numbers from the team list for a game against their nearest rivals from a mile down the road, who wouldn't need a number to know who they're marking. Isn't that a classic? You couldn't make this kind of stuff up. This is somebody trying to be very, very clever. What are they getting out of this?
I don't know. And I saw like Cahir getting a bit of backlash as well. People writing him saying, did you never hear of fucking squad numbers? like they changed their squad numbers. That's his point. Like, and you're right. Like, yeah, they're literally a mile apart. They know each other inside out. But also, we're talking about Slotnail here, a sophisticated outfit who know who every player in the squad is, no matter who they're playing, especially in a knockout quarterfinal. So, yeah, I don't know, it was a bit of a pointless effort. All right to do it in under 16 level, but maybe not at this level.
But that was a quarterfinal, or was it a semi-final?
That was quarterfinal, so they're in the semis. It's actually a really nice semi-final. It's Slotnail v Ballanderry and Maharafelt v Loop. So it's all, they're close enough teams and they're all the best teams probably.
All right, Maharafelt, the Loop won easily. I was wondering, I thought they were semi-finals. I was wondering who had beaten Maharafelt, but they're still in it.
Yeah, they're playing Loop now in the semis, so the champions are still there.
Right, okay. Kilcoo, they won again in Down. I think I've wrapped up most of the finals. Semi-final, Tullamore beat Forbannon penalties 10-9. Huge excitement in that as well. What is it about all the extra time and the penalties? Here, this is the question I'm wondering. Does this happen every year and we don't cover club matches until pretty much the finals? Or is this just a completely unique year where we've never seen this before? Or we've never seen penalties before, so we're talking about them more, and usually it might be extra time in a replay. I still don't remember that many extra times and replays in latter stages of club championship matches.
Is everybody just enjoying themselves more and playing football? You know, because they haven't played for so long, the season's obviously way shorter, and it's like, no, but like, you don't have enough shit that's happening through the season to drop your head so quickly. So it's like everybody's just going at it and nobody's giving up. There's so many comebacks, so much extra time, as you say. And like, I've never seen as many. Like, obviously penalties has never happened before, but like, I've never seen as many extra time games like finish on a draw after extra time.
Yeah,
it's amazing how close it is.
No, it definitely is. So that was 10-9 on penalties, which is even more, just as exciting as Dungannon, and Tullamore beat the current holders for Ban, so they are out. Final word, like I was saying, goes to Mickey Moore, and this is for Conor Laverty. So they've all collected their ninth county championship. They lost the final 2 years ago. They lost their title, and Mickey Moran came in and they won it last year, got to the All-Ireland final, and have retained it this year. He says, Mickey Moran, this is in his speech, he's joint captain. He's captain on his own last year. So he did such a good job, they didn't want to change it. So they just stuck him in, obviously, along maybe with new captain. Or maybe, did they have joint captains last year? Maybe that's, I'm thinking on my feet here, and I probably shouldn't be. Mickey Moran, you've managed in different counties and in different clubs, but in Kilkoo, you'll be worshipped here until the day and hour when we all go to our graves.
Wow. Let's just leave it at that.
Nobody's ever said anything as nice as that to him in Derry.
You know, I really hate the treatment that he got in Derry. Like, he took them twice. Obviously, he was really respected for the 93 wins and having such an influential part in a team talk in the semi-final against Dublin. When he took Derry, he took a nothing team then at the start of the noughties, and he brought them to an All-Ireland semi-final. They were class in 2005 as well. They played amazing football, but just never seemed to be loved the way he should be. And he's such a gentleman as well. I've never met somebody as nice and somebody who I want to talk to about football as much as Mickey Moore. And he seems to be loved everywhere, like, you know, all the other counties that he's managed, and in Jordanstown as well, all the players that came through there, and obviously in Kilkoo, but just not Derry.
Yeah, definitely not. Final word goes to our own Conor Heenahan, who didn't do the show today. He had a day off. I'm sure his plans for today would have been happier than the plan, than how it's turned out. They were beaten by Bala, beaten by 4 points. They didn't really show up in the night from what I learned about it. So commiserations to Kilshima. You will be back. Not much to say, more to say about that. Conan, losing a county final is never that easy.
Although it will be maybe motivation for him to stay on. He was talking about it. It sounded like he was going to retire. 36, losing a county final. So close, you'd have won it. Yeah, I think it'll be hard to walk away from thinking, like, we're just talking about leaving the jersey in a better place. What if they win it now next year? Conor Heenan's hung up his boot.
Right, okay. Well, listen, commiserations to Conor. That's not an easy place to be in. And best wishes from the show. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Right, we'll leave it there, Conor. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll preview loads more county finals coming up next weekend. So we'll talk to you then. Good luck.
Yet it took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing houses for f***ing 10 years.